It's the Scotty Myers Show.
Hey, welcome to this week's edition of the show. I am your host, Scotty Myers. Of course, don't forget to follow us on all the social media channels, Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram, at Scotty Myers on Twitter. And of course, you can always check us out, ScottyMyersMedia.com, and reach out to me there too. Email, anything like that. As I come to you this week, I feel like it seems like we're getting back to some semblance of normalcy. Maybe I'm just optimistic, you know, maybe I'm being super, super hopeful, but kind of feels like the world is righting itself in as far as the coronavirus goes. There's still a ton of stuff that needs to be worked on. But as I talk to people and I'm out and about, I find people are talking about making travel plans and things that just, you know, a year ago, you wouldn't have had those conversations. And those are the conversations that we're having now. So I love that it's starting to get back to normal. And in fact, I'm looking at travel plans. I'm hopeful. It's this weird place because I'm hopeful. It feels like it's getting back to normal. But at the same time, I don't want to book something and then have everything go to shit again and be stuck, you know, not being able to go and travel as I had hoped. So obviously, if you listen to the show, you know, I'm a big Disney kind of Florida junkie, and that's obviously where I want to go first. So I'm looking at the 50th anniversary of Disney at the beginning of October. That's what I'm thinking is going to be my first post-pandemic trip. To me, it checks a lot of boxes, right? You want that first trip to be something that you enjoy, check. Something special, 50th anniversary, check. And, you know, and then obviously just something exciting and that you know you're going to have fun, and that checks that box as well. So, but it's this weird spot. Like, hopefully I feel comfortable putting some money down and booking things soon, because the longer I wait, you know, the more hotels go away, the less stuff that's going to be available. So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, gotta get my ass in gear and just feel confident that by October, we will be 100% back to normal. Hopefully, things are starting to feel a bit better for you. I don't know. This is maybe the most optimistic I have felt in quite some time, probably a year and a half. I can honestly say I feel pretty optimistic about things right now. As optimistic as I feel about the end of the pandemic and you know, life starting to get a little bit more normal, I feel less optimistic about us as a species. We have a ton of geek news to get into, and we're going to get into that in a second. But first, I don't know if you've seen the trailer for this new dating show on Netflix. I feel like we have, at this point, tapped every possible way to hook people up, right? And not only have we figured out every possible way to do it, we've also put every possible way to do it on television. This is kind of like taking the success of The Masked Singer and smashing it together with The Dating Game. It's kind of what this is, but it's a trip. Like, it's a trip and a half. So it's a show coming to Netflix called Sexy Beasts. And basically, the premise of this show is they take people, and they show some of these people outside of their makeup, and they're attractive people. So they take a group of attractive people, put them in bizarro costumes, you know, like one person looks like a leopard, another person looks like a beaver, one looks like a bull, one looks like a bizarre fish-looking thing, and they set them up. And they go on dates and all that kind of thing. And again, like a lot of dating shows, like, you know, there was one, Love is Blind. I think that's what it was called, where you met your date in the dark and you couldn't see them. There's this eternal hope that somehow one of these shows is going to convince us that it doesn't matter what the other person looks like, you know, and that you build the attraction based solely on how the person acts and who they are inside. And that is great. That's a great little fairy tale. I love it. I do not buy it. I don't. I think you have to have some sort of physical attraction to the person. Otherwise, those are the people that become friends. You know, like, hey, that's a great person. Great gal, great guy. I love hanging out with them, whatever. Why aren't you with them? Not for me. Well, if they're so great, why aren't they for you? Physical attraction. That's the thing. So this is another attempt to prove to us that physical attraction means nothing, which is bullshit. Anyway, so watch the trailer for this. Like, I don't want to promote doing drugs, but I think this trailer might be more entertaining on drugs. It's definitely weird because they kiss in the masks. It's very, very bizarre. And I see something like this and I go, yes, as I said earlier, I'm hopeful we're coming out of the coronavirus. Am I hopeful for the survival of the species? Fuck no. Not based on this. Based on this, I'm kind of, you know, team virus. Kidding. Let's move on to the geek news of the week. Because as I said, we got a ton of it. And I was talking a little bit about Disney earlier, and I want to start in the world of Disney, just because A, really funny story from there, and then B, some 50th anniversary announcements. So there's a ride in Disney called Living with the Land, and it's in Epcot. And the whole point of the ride is it's an agriculture education boat tour. Is what it is. You're on a little tiny boat and you're scrolling through, and Epcot has some internal kind of greenhouses. They're doing agricultural research there, and you see some really cool stuff, and they're growing fruits and vegetables in these greenhouses. And as they always say with every ride, you know, stay seated, don't try to get out of the ride, even though it's a very slow moving boat, it's still dangerous, blah, blah, blah. Basically, once you sit your ass down, stay sat down until the end of the ride. Well, one lady decided that she did not want to stay seated until the end of the ride. In fact, I'm assuming she got very, very hungry because she tried to get off the boat on the ride and attempted to, I guess, I mean, the only way you can put it is steal a cucumber. Of all things, cucumbers don't even have that much nutritional value. They're mostly water. And she fell in, and another passenger on the boat got up to try to help her. And it was just basically a giant clusterfuck on Living with the Land. Perhaps the most tamest of all the rides at Walt Disney World. And there are some tame rides for the kids. But Living with the Land may take the cake when it comes to, you know, a ride that when you just need to sit down for 5 minutes, but you don't want to waste 5 minutes, so you feel like you're going to do something. That's Living with the Land. And this woman made it probably the most exciting ride at Walt Disney World that day. Now, Disney hasn't commented on what happened yet, but my guess is this lady will never be allowed at a Disney park again. That tends to be what happens when people break the rules. And you know what? Listen, we've all been in a situation where we've had an idea cross our minds that's ridiculous and ludicrous, and an idea that, yeah, you know what, could be fun. But then you have a moment of rationalization where you go, you know what, the possible outcome of this on the negative side far outweighs any positive thing. Like, even if her story was, I'm going to grab a cucumber and take a picture and throw it on Instagram and be like, I got a cucumber at Disney. The benefit of that, not as good as the negative of potentially being barred from the parks for life. So that happened on, as I said, the tamest ride at Disney. Disney also unleashed a bunch of announcements around the 50th anniversary, which is coming up October 1st. The 50th anniversary celebration is going to run for about 18 months. So if you are sitting there going, I want to be part of it, but I can't be there October 1st or anything like that, don't worry. There's going to be plenty of time to see all the cool stuff that they're going to be doing for the 50th. And this, to me, is probably just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to announcements for the celebration. So we've got three new shows headed our way. We knew there was a new fireworks show coming to Epcot, Harmonious, and we didn't know when it was going to start. Now we know it's going to kick off October 1st. Makes total sense. There's also going to be a new kite show, daytime kite show coming to Animal Kingdom. Looks kind of cool. You know, those big, giant kites. Those are going to be kind of the focal point of it. And then the shocking one was that there is a new fireworks show coming to Magic Kingdom, and that one sounds really, really immersive. If you've seen any of the fireworks on YouTube or you've been to the parks, you know they do projections on Cinderella's castle. They're going to continue to do that, but they're going to expand those projections down Main Street USA, which is the street, you know, that you walk on as you enter Magic Kingdom. It's going to be an interesting show. It's going to change how you see the fireworks because, you know, this amount of projection is going to really change it. But it looks cool. Concept art looks really, really neat. And obviously, these go hand in hand with the 50th anniversary. So they will kick off on October 1st. I am very much looking forward. I love the fireworks are the best way to end a day at Disney. And the fact that there's new fireworks has me super, super excited. Love the fireworks shows. Switching over to more traditional geeky stuff, let's start with the world of Hasbro toys, because we got a couple of Hasbro movie kind of tidbits dropped on us. First, we got a second trailer for the Snake Eyes movie, the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes movie. And while the trailer, again, looks really good, I'm still hesitant to be excited about this movie, partly because, and maybe it's just my memory, and maybe my memory of Snake Eyes is not what it should be. In my mind, the story was that he grew up an orphan with this ninja clan, and that he and Storm Shadow grew up as brothers, trained together, you know, and then went their separate ways, each down a different road. In this trailer, it doesn't seem like that's the case at all. It seems like they kind of rewrote Snake Eyes' story a little bit. This trailer, a lot of it feels to me like there was a trailer for a martial arts movie, or a script, I should say, for a martial arts movie, and they were struggling to get it made, and somebody along the line said, hey, what if we slap G.I. Joe on this and make it Snake Eyes? And that's how it got green lit. That happens all the time in Hollywood. Scripts are repurposed to fit a franchise. So it would not surprise me if it came out, and you know, it may never come out, but that was the case with Snake Eyes, that it was just a script that had been floating around, and the only way to get it made was to attach it to the G.I. Joe brand. Like I say, it doesn't look bad, just doesn't look like Snake Eyes to me. I'll give it a chance, though. And then talking about franchises that I've given numerous chance to, Transformers. Yes, Transformers is back. This time focusing a lot of the story kind of basically from the 90s animated show Beast Wars, because the movie is going to be called Transformers Rise of the Beasts. It's going to be set in 1994, for some reason, in Brooklyn, New York. And of course, we're going to get, you know, kind of Autobots, Decepticons, but for the most part, it's going to have Maximals, Predacons, Terracons, and they're all going to be bringing the, you know, destruction and chaos to Brooklyn for some reason. Bumblebee will be in the movie, although apparently the movie is going to focus heavily on Optimus Prime coming to Earth for the first time. And we can expect to see this film hitting theaters June 24th, 2022. But this Transformers franchise, honestly, they get me every time. There has yet to be a Transformers film that I have just outright loved, but yet they always figure out a way to get me back into the theater. And having the Beast Wars storyline kind of gets me back in the theater. They did it again. We got inundated with trailers, and we will start with a horror movie trailer from one of the biggest horror movie franchises of all time. Halloween Kills dropped their trailer, and my, oh my, oh my, the kill count in the trailer is higher than most horror movies nowadays. I'm hoping they don't show me every kill in the movie in the trailer, because there is a solid, I want to say at least 10 people off in the trailer, which, you know, the 2-minute trailer, 10 people did, and good kills too. Like Michael Myers in full effect. It's really good. It seems menacing, which I love. And it's got that Halloween vibe. The Halloween remake or reboot or whatever you want to call it, sequel, whatever they did a few years ago was fantastic. And it looks like Halloween Kills is going to pick up and not skip a beat, which is awesome. A great, great trailer. All the trailers you can check out. Scotty Myers on Twitter. At the Scotty Myers Show on Facebook for the trailers that we're going to talk about. But definitely watch the Halloween Kills one. If you are squeamish and you're not a horror fan, or even if you are, but you are a little squeamish and you just want to wait to see it on the big screen, you maybe don't check out the trailer. Because like I said, it's got a pretty high kill count. It's impressive. Switching over to Star Wars news, just one little tidbit on Star Wars. All 13 episodes of the 1980s animated show Star Wars Droids are now streaming on Disney Plus. Disney Plus throwing all the Star Wars content out there. You know, we got the Ewoks and now we've got droids. It's worth a watch. It's definitely an interesting show. The whole idea was Lucas thought it best to use characters who weren't backbone characters of the movie's plots. So that's why we got droids and it focuses on R2 and 3PO and whatnot. Because while they're there, you know, R2 and 3PO can kind of go and do their own thing. Droids, totally written out of continuity. It doesn't mesh with any of the prequel trilogy, really. Definitely worth checking out. So if you want to see some kind of 80s comic book glory, you know, it's that 80s kid show feel. Star Wars Droids streaming now on Disney Plus. Switching over to DC Comics, we've got a release date for the Blu-ray release of Zack Snyder's Justice League. People were getting a little antsy about this because it had been released in the UK. And there, for a long time, it was out in the UK with no date for North America. And it was kind of like, well, what the fuck is going on here? So now we know. It will arrive on September 7th. Of course, it'll come in a 4K, a Blu-ray combo pack, DVD, all kinds of stuff. The Ultra HD Blu-ray disc is going to include a soundtrack that has been specifically mixed for home theaters, which is kind of cool. Don't know about any special features. When you think about the Snyder Cut, it's basically the ultimate director's cut, so I don't know what extra special features you could put on there, but really cool that you'll be able to add this to your home collection. Again, September 7th is when that will be coming out. We get to see new Shazam costumes this week. They're definitely a little sleeker. They fit kind of in line with what it looks like Black Adam's costume is going to look like, and they really fit in line with a lot of the costumes that we've previously seen in the DC film universe. You know, all the suits kind of have a texture to them in the DC movies. The new Shazam suits definitely have that texture. The lightning bolt is a little smaller, but they look really good. So excited to see them in action in Shazam Fury of the Gods. But the director, he was like, here, you know what? I'm going to give you this picture just before people start leaking the suits, which had kind of started anyway. We had already kind of seen Shazams. But now we've seen the entire Shazam family. So really, really cool there. And then speaking of leaked photos, and this may be what really pushed the Shazam director to just go, here, take a look at the costumes, was we're starting to see a lot of photos coming from the Flash set. And, you know, we've seen Supergirl kind of in action without the cape. I think they're going to CG the cape in, maybe. We've seen Barry Allen and Iris West. It appeared that Barry was wearing the Flash ring, which would be really cool if by the end of the Flash movie, his suit came out of the ring like it does in the comics. And we also got to see Michael Keaton strolling around on set as Bruce Wayne. He wasn't in his Batman costume, but hair was very similar to 1989 Batman, except grayer, and really cool set pieces. I think Supergirl looks fantastic. Really looking forward to seeing her on the big screen, and I'm stoked to have Michael Keaton back. I don't know if I'm in the minority, but I'm definitely on one side of an argument when it comes to Michael Keaton's return as Batman and Bruce Wayne. There are a bunch of people online that are not happy about this, which I don't understand why. You're talking about one of the best Batman ever. And, you know, some people saying his age is the issue because he's 70. And yeah, you know, Michael Keaton's a little bit up there. It was only a few years ago, though, he played Vulture. It's not like he's frail. Michael Keaton can still go. And on top of that, I like where they could go with the story with having an older Batman. It opens up either you're going to get maybe some armored suit Batman. Maybe you can get Batman Beyond. You know, if we get into the Terry McGinnis story, there's lots of different avenues they can go down having Michael Keaton return as Batman for a few films. So I like where they're going with it. And, you know, we don't know what's going the DC film universe is going to look like when we come out of The Flash. There's a lot of speculation, but we really don't know. The only thing we pretty much know is that it's going to 100% kind of put the multiverse in play in the DC film continuity. And like lending to that, there's a rumor out there that Grant Gustin, who plays the Flash on the TV show, has a cameo in the film, much like Ezra Miller had a cameo in Crisis on Infinite Earths in the CW Arrowverse show. So it looks like they're really trying to make the multiverse a thing. We've also been told Ben Affleck's Batman is in the Flash. So without knowing where the DC kind of film universe will be at the end of the Flash, it's hard to say who will be Batman, who won't be Batman, how many Batman will there be, how many Supermen will there be. There's so much up in the air that it's hard to get upset about where the film franchises is going, because we don't know. We don't know what the new status quo will be after the Flash film. And, you know, once we see it and kind of get an idea of where they're going, and I think we'll get an even better idea of where they're going come DC fandom in October, you know, maybe then it's time to, if you do have criticisms for it, to put them out there. But I think right now, it's just be excited. Just be excited. This is badass. Just be excited. Who would have thought that, you know, the movies that we grew up with would somehow get looped in to the current film franchises? To me, that's mind-blowing and pretty cool. Like, I'm excited about it. So, you know, it's a shame Christopher Reeve isn't here to you know, be in the, even as a cameo Superman appearance or something like that. Be very cool. Can you imagine Christopher Reeve coming in as Kingdom Come Superman? That would be badass. It's a shame he's not here to do that. But I'm excited to see where DC is going with this. And I understand it if you're going, hey, listen, their track record isn't the strongest. Give them a chance. Let's see. Andy Muschietti's a good director. Let's see where this all plays out. And this Flash is kind of the linchpin right now. Film for where this thing is going to go. So let's see how it does. And speaking of movies, though, and ones that are coming soon, we got a new Suicide Squad trailer from James Gunn. And if you could have seen my face watching this trailer, my God, just a big, big, dumb smile on it. Really, like, I'm so excited for this movie. There were some great jokes in it, great action sequences. I even like the trailer kind of gave us a Cole's Notes version of Bloodsport's origin story, which is great. I mean, they're acknowledging the same origin he had in the comics, that he put Superman in the hospital by shooting him with a kryptonite bullet. Really good. Now, I will definitely say there's a story with his daughter, and I'm thinking maybe that was initially written for Deadshot and Will Smith, and, you know, Will couldn't come back, said because of scheduling conflicts. You know, we'll go with that. So I kind of feel like maybe there was a little bit of, we're not going to use Deadshot and we don't want to recast him just in case we can use Will Smith again in the future. So who else can we use? Who else shoots gun? Oh, Bloodsport. Okay, cool. Cool character. But it kind of seems like maybe there was a little quick switcheroo there to change it to Bloodsport. But looks great. Starro looks awesome. It looks really, really cool. So I'm super, super excited for Suicide Squad. If they put tickets on sale today, I would buy mine. You know, August cannot get here fast enough. I don't want to wish summer away, but I do want to see Suicide Squad as soon as humanly possible. Switching over to Marvel. Oh my, oh my. Marvel sent us a new trailer as well for Shang-Chi. Second trailer focused very heavily on the Ten Rings in this trailer. So really kind of cool. Not sure how this is going to tie into the Mandarin. It has to at some point with the Ten Rings. They never say the Mandarin in the trailer, but you figure at some point they're going to get into the Mandarin. But action looks great. It looks like it's going to be a fun martial arts adventure. And there was a really kind of cool cameo at the end of the trailer. Maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like there's a cage fighting sequence, like underground cage fighting. And it looked like Abomination, the Hulk villain, was in the cage. And I've looked at it a few times. The lighting is kind of gray, but I think it is Abomination. I'm not 100% sure, but that's my guess. But I will say, Shang-Chi looks really, really good. And Kevin Feige was doing some press and did an interview, talked about Black Widow. And somebody asked him, you know, hey, this is a kind of an interesting story for you guys to do because it takes place in the past, right? You're taking a character that, unfortunately, you know, isn't alive anymore in the MCU, but you're still making a movie about them. And Kevin Feige had an interesting comment on that. That really opens the door to damn near anything they want to do. He said he's interested in making movies, even with some characters that, you know, may not be alive anymore, but telling their stories from the past. And then some characters that are alive, maybe jumping forward and telling some of their stories in the future. So it really opens the door up for Marvel to, you know, if they wanted to do an Iron Man movie again and Robert Downey Jr. was game, you could do it. You just have to make it take place before Endgame. That's no biggie. And people love his Iron Man so much, I don't think anybody would be pissed. I think people would be excited. So there's, it kind of really opens the door up for Marvel to do basically whatever the fuck they want. You know, if they want to tell a story in the past, they will. If they want to jump ahead and, you know, like Logan jumps ahead and tells a story in the future, they may do that with another character. It's hard to say, but it really does kind of crack that door wide open. And last but not least, Loki episode 3. Love this show, and this was my favorite episode of Loki. Not only did we get a really, really great idea and really a character fleshing out of Lady Loki, whose name is Sylvie, which is no surprise if you've read the comics. She kind of looked a bit like that version, and so we'll get more of her story, see if it lines up with the comic book origin. But there's some great moments between her and Tom Hiddleston and just kind of Loki to Loki, as it were. And the show was great. A lot of mischief from Loki, some great action sequences. It did end with a little bit of a, okay, now, like, what the fuck? Where's episode 4? Because, you know, the ending was very abrupt and definitely kind of cliffhanger-ish. I mean, you kind of obviously are hopeful of what's going to happen, but hands down, my favorite episode of the show so far. The show keeps getting better and better episode by episode, which is a great trend. Because if I go from episode 1 that I liked but thought was pretty slow, episode 2 picked it up, and episode 3 really picked it up. So I'm very excited to see where Loki is going. Let me know if you're enjoying the adventures of the Mischief God. Of course, as always, reach out on social media at Scotty Myers on Twitter, The Scotty Myers Show on Facebook and Instagram. And that will pretty much do it for this week. So until we chat again, have a great week.